Well, today we are week two in our new series called Engagement. Now, if you're just joining us, this sermon series is not about the period leading up to marriage, okay? This is not that kind of message series. In fact, this is a series about what it means to be a fully engaged follower of Jesus Christ. Last Sabbath, we were reminded that as members of the body of Christ, His church, we are called to support His body with our presence, with our attendance. You know, the data shows that church attendance is on the what? On the decline. It is on the decline, in fact, at a record low as America becomes more and more secular, becomes more and more agnostic, atheist, or other faith ideas. Even among Adventism, we see a trend of being on the books but not being present at the church. And so today, Jesus is calling us followers to re-engage His church. Now, just to review last Sabbath, Jesus was always being followed by a huge what? A huge crowd, right? The crowd was continually following Him. They loved what they saw. They loved the great sermons, the great teachings, the healing. They loved the benefits of Christ. But then one day, Jesus stopped and paused and said, hey, if you want to be my real disciple, if you want to be fully engaged following me, I actually need you to love me more than anything, more than anyone. I need you to be willing to carry your cross. I need you to count the cost. I need you to be willing to give me everything. At that point, the crowd began to dissipate. And the question is, how much do you want to follow Jesus? How engaged do you want to be? Because He gave His all for you. There is a cost to following Christ. It is not for the faint of heart. It requires a total sacrificial commitment, and it is a 24/7 commitment. Kids, the word for today, gift. Count how many times I say the word gift, and I will give you a special gift after the service. The word is gift. If you would, I want to invite you to go to Matthew chapter 25. If you have a Bible, you know, it's always nice to open the Bible and look in it. But if you don't have your Bible, guess what? There's a pew Bible. But if you don't want to open the pew Bible, okay, we'll have the words up here. Matthew chapter 25, verse 14. Jesus is at the tail end of His ministry, and He wants to engage His followers with one more truth. What does it mean to be a fully engaged follower as a church member? Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through 16. Here we go. 14 through 15. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave how many talents? Five. And to another he gave two. And to another he gave one. And to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Now, as is the case so often, Jesus is telling a parable. Parable is nothing more than a story, but allows for lots of symbolism to illustrate a moral teaching. And in this case, in this parable, there are multiple teachings, but we're going to take one for today. The parable of the talents. Now, Jesus is actually foretelling what is going to take place in His own life. He is going to be going on a faraway journey. He's going to be going to heaven when His earthly ministry is over. And He's going to be giving His servants, His followers, what? Talents. He's going to give them talents. And not equally. Some will receive five, two, or one. And so, what is the purpose of that? But to see what His followers do with the talents. Now, what is a talent? In this context, a talent is simply not only what you're born with. You know, some people are born with amazing abilities. I mean, it seems like they don't have to try hard, and they do really well at what they're endowed with. And that's a good way to know if you have a talent, is you do it really well, and you don't have to try very hard. But what we're talking about with talents is more than what you're born with. It's also something that's given to you, a special gift, we call it. The Bible talks about spiritual gifts in four parts of the Bible, four different books of the Bible. And there are different interpretations on how many gifts there are. The minimum number of categories of gifts is 20, but you could get up to 27, depending on how you break down those gifts. The first servant received five talents. Five, you could say, spiritual gifts. The second received two spiritual gifts. And the last servant received just one spiritual gift. But each was given a gift according to God's given ability for them to receive it. Now, does anyone here doubt that if you are a member of this church, which means if you're a member, you've been baptized, does anyone doubt that there's members here with just no talents at all? You know, I've gotten to know them. Pastor, I got to know them. No gifts. No capabilities at all. Poor guy. He has nothing to bring to the table. Do you guys know anybody like that? I have yet to receive that report. I've yet to notice that there is someone here that doesn't have at least one talent. Apparently, a talent is given to every serious follower of Christ. But not unbelievers. We're talking about serious followers of Christ. They receive a talent. Ephesians 4, verse 7 says, He has given each one of us a special what? Gift through the generosity of who? Christ. Now, when does someone receive the talent? I'll give you a hint. It happened not too long ago in this very church. When does a special talent get given to a follower of Christ? When? At baptism. Daniel and Karina. Acts chapter 2, verse 38 says, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You're like, I already knew all this. This is not new information. Well, we're reviewing. We're building a case. So one of the most exciting things about baptism, if you're not yet baptized, is that the Holy Spirit will come upon you and give you an enhanced capability, a new skill, a new talent or talents. The Holy Spirit endows new Christ followers. 1 Corinthians 12:4 says, There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. Now, today's baptism, Daniel and Karina received the Holy Spirit, and they received their spiritual gifts. But one of the important things to realize is that a spiritual gift is not something that you earn or that you just, you know, qualify for, that somehow you can work up. It is a what? It's a gift. A spiritual gift is a gift. And many times, the talents that you have is what comes easy for you, but others struggle with. Your godly spouse is someone that can help you discover your spiritual gift. You might say, well, you know, I don't really know what my gift is, what my talent is. In fact, I do have some talents, but they're not in the category that the Bible indicates. I have a good talent of spending money. I have a good talent of doing a lot of talking. So I don't really see where my talent is in the Bible. Guess what, friends? If you have a godly friend or a godly spouse, typically they're going to have a pretty good idea as to what your gift or talent is. Sometimes we're able to point out in others The talents that we say, well, I wish I had that. They're so good with that. How come I don't have that capability? That's not for us to ask. God is the one who determines, right, who gets which talent and how many. How come I don't have more? I only got one. The Lord decided that. Now, if you're still not sure what your gift or talent is, the church offers you a short class, a couple hours, to discover your spiritual gifts. And you can let us know if you're interested. So back to Jesus' parable on the talents. Special gifts have been given to three. And now Jesus is away. He's on that long journey. But the question is it okay to be envious and to desire the talents of others? No, it's not. Matthew 25, verse 16 says, then he who had received the five talents went and traded with them and made another, how many? Five talents. And likewise, he who received two gained two more. But he who received one went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. Being an engaged follower of Christ means we take the talents that the Lord has given us and we engage them. We utilize them. We don't benefit ourselves with those talents, right? We give them for the purpose and glory of God. There are many here that are very talented. And we have to make a living. But I wonder, are you engaged with your local church, with your talents? We are called to engage our gifts. We are built to engage our talents for His church. Jeremiah 1:5 says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. There's an important point here to be made. Did you know that your giftedness, your talents that you will receive at baptism actually was not something that was just figured out 15 minutes before baptism, but was determined before you were even born? Like Jeremiah, he was called to be a prophet. He was still barely conceived. But God had plans and gifts in store for him. Now, when a child is conceived, think about it. When a child is conceived, the child receives, the embryo receives 50% of the DNA from mom and 50% of the DNA from dad. And in that microscopic fertilized egg, joined DNA forms a helix-shaped genetic ladder that is literally 6 feet long if you were to stretch it out. Right, doctor? And every detail of our physical being is programmed by our DNA. Its intricacies far outweigh the most sophisticated computer software system that we could find. That means our DNA determined, well, my DNA determined that at some point I would start to lose a little bit of hair. Your DNA determined at conception how tall you would be. Your frame, the color of your eyes. The Lord knew before you were born what you would look like. Your temperament and your capabilities. But more than that, before you were born, the Lord knew your gifts. You might call it spiritual DNA. The gifts the Holy Spirit bestows upon you at baptism. Now, if the Lord knew before Moses was born that he was called to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt, if the Lord knew that Samson's mom should not cut his hair all his life before he was born, if the Lord knew that before John the Baptist was born that he's going to be the one to announce the coming Messiah, does the Lord not know ahead of time the plans he has for you and me? You say, well, Pastor, this is sounding like predestination. Like, wow, do I have any choice in the matter? Of course. Because we still need to choose to follow Christ and receive him. But those gifts are in the wings, ready to be released. Because you were built to engage your gifts for the church. Now back to the parable of the talents. After a long while, the parable goes, the man who was a great distance away, that's Jesus in heaven, he comes back to see what his servants have done with those 5, 2, and 1 talents. What has happened? And likewise, when Jesus returns, he's going to assess us followers as well. What did we do with the talents that he gave us? Matthew 25:20. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them. And the same was true of the servant who had 2. And what did the Lord say? But well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Have you noticed that? That when you serve the Lord with gladness, when you give of yourself, the Lord begins to bless you. And he begins to empower you and gives you success, so to speak, and even maybe more responsibility. Matthew 25, now verse 24. Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant. How many Christians are like that servant? They've got the 1 talent, but for whatever reason, they've decided to bury it, to not engage that talent. Maybe it's busyness. Maybe it's a lack of conviction in their heart to be a part of the body of Christ. Maybe it's a lack of full surrender to Christ. But whatever is the case, there are those who may be here today that have buried their talent. Now, when Jesus comes, the last thing I want to hear is, you wicked and lazy servant, because what will come after that is probably not a good thing. When Jesus comes back, it's going to be obvious. We're looking forward to his return. And we're going to look forward to the well done, good and faithful servant. Why? Because we've been partnering with the Lord to hasten his return. Now, friends, if you are a Seventh-day Adventist, I believe one of our critical beliefs is that Jesus is coming soon, right? That's our belief. And so this is a little bit of an awkward sermon, a little bit of a high-pressure sermon, calling us as Adventists to re-engage our church if we've been burying our gifts and talents. We have some new talents that were just birthed here in the baptistry. But some of you have capabilities that perhaps are not being shared with the body. Today, the Lord is saying, I need you. Re-engage your gifts. The talents God has given you are not for yourself. And don't worry about whether you have enough talent to offer. I love seeing the kids up here, don't you? You know, what if these children said, you know, I can't sing that well. I don't think so. I don't think I'm going to come up. And if that mindset spread, how many children would we have? We'd have a few that could really sing well, and the rest would be disengaged. And so I'm grateful for your leadership, Darlene, and your whole team in bringing these children to engage their gifts. I love seeing the young adults, the teenagers, you know, where they're back at the AV booth or they're giving a scripture. Maybe they're singing, playing. Thank you, Todd, for your leadership and for parents to encourage their young people. But we adults also have talents and gifts that the Lord has given us, and he's calling us to engage those gifts. Perhaps some of us have buried them. You were built to engage the church with your gifts. The question is, are you? There is a category of Christian who takes the table, takes the label, and is passively connected to the church, but is not very useful because they're not engaged. Spiritual gifts are not designed for lone rangers. They're designed for the betterment of the congregation. Now, the Apostle Paul makes this point even more clearly with his letter to the church in Corinth, who apparently had some of the same challenges that we do in the 21st century of holding back our talents. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 4 through 7. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in every one, it is the same God at work. Now, the word for gift in the Greek is charismata. It means gifts of grace. Gifts of grace. That means that any special ability that we have is something that has been imparted to us by God's grace. We don't deserve it. We're not eligible for it. That's why if you ever say to me, nice sermon, Pastor, and it doesn't happen very often, but if you do, if you do, I better never say thank you. Yeah, I thought I really hit it out of the park. No, if you say that, I need to say to God be the glory, because it is his honor and glory that we try to esteem, that we are lifting up, not the flesh. Because our talents come from the same origin and the same purpose, therefore, it's really not helpful to begin to quantify who has more, who has the better talent. It doesn't matter. It's for the same purpose, to build up God's kingdom, to encourage one another in our journey. Friends, it's hard to be a Christian in the 21st century. We need each other. And it's also difficult to draw new Christians. But that's what we're called to do with our gifts and talents. But for whatever reason, some of us have buried our talent. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 and 15 through 18 says, just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. Now if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not, for that reason, stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an ear, I do not belong to the body, it would not, for that reason, stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? And if the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, every one of you, just as he wanted them to be. You and I were built to be engaged with his body, his church. Before our birth, the Lord knew us. He knew the plans that he had, and he knew the gifts he wanted to give us, and he knew the purpose of our life. Perhaps he knew that for Martin Luther. I don't think perhaps, for sure. Therefore, God grants us an amazing future. At the cross. Think about it. When Jesus died on the cross, he bought you and me. So therefore, we became his servants. I'd rather serve the Lord than serve the devil, right? And as Christ's servant, he says, I give you a talent or two to expand my kingdom. You are unique in the body of Christ. I need your engagement. Perhaps you are a vital organ in this body. Maybe you are a liver. Maybe you are an eyeball, a kidney. Maybe you're a stomach. You keep hearing your stomach. I don't know. Are you operational and healthy and functioning in this body with your body part? Only you can answer that. Just think of it. God knew you before you were born, and he knew that he wanted you in this church in that capacity. Are you serving in that capacity? Think about it. If you're an eye, but you're not engaged, perhaps that's one reason why we don't have better vision at the Hill Church. Perhaps you're the thumb. Maybe that's why we lose our grip sometimes with certain projects. Maybe you're the lung. Maybe that's why the church doesn't have the endurance it would have if you were engaged. What part of the body are you? What parts? Maybe you're multiple. Think about it. If we had total member involvement, what could we do for the kingdom of God in the East Bay? Huh? Or are we content to have a little influence? I don't think so. Many of you are engaged with your church. Many of you are an active body part. I do want to take a moment and acknowledge you. You know who you are. You know the gifts that you have. You know how you're serving your church with your giftedness. And I thank you. And the Lord says, well done, good and faithful servants. And right now I want to take and acknowledge a couple who has been faithful in serving at this church. They moved here in 1976. The wife, she has a love for children. And soon she found herself serving in the children's ministries, teaching the children for years. Decades, decades. How many children did she sing Jesus loves me, this I know too? How many parents did she inspire with her teachings from the Bible, even though it was for the children? This woman is a woman of prayer. She leads our church in prayer ministry. A lot of it's behind the scenes, and a lot of it we won't even know about unless you're sick or you have a need. She's held many positions in our church, deaconess. And on a given day, you might find her volunteering at the community service center, passing out some food for the hungry. You may be wondering, who is this woman? Now, she's married to a husband, and he's also going to be found there at the community service center, helping out, you know, feeding the hungry, volunteering his time. But, you know, her husband actually, you're going to find that he's driven many miles on the lawnmower, you know, one of those driving lawnmowers. I don't know if you need a special license, but if you need any tips, he can tell you how to do it. Many miles through many years serving the school, managing the grounds. So important. If we don't have someone taking care of the grounds, we have a jungle. This man is the first one here on Sabbath and the last one to leave. He opens up. He helps out. He's got a heart to serve. And this young man also is someone that you may see when you first arrive. He'll greet you with a warm smile and a kind handshake. And you know it's not fake. You know he really loves you. You can see Jesus in him. Who are we talking about? Wow. I guess I gave more clues for Theo than Jerry. But Theo and Jerry, we affirm you. We affirm your ministry. I see Jerry. I don't see Theo. Where is Theo? Let's bring them together and let's give them a hand for the glory of God. Can you imagine our church without their body parts in our church? Maybe that sounds crude, but I'm using the Bible's language. Can you imagine? There's Theo. Where's Theo? See, he's hiding in the very back row. That's one area that we're going to work on with him. He needs to sit closer. But anyway, can you imagine how many people they have blessed because they were willing to engage their gifts? Friends, you too are called to engage this body with your gifts. 1 Peter 4:10 says, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Now, by now, you will be receiving or should have received a ministry engagement form. Now, this is a little document that will give you a chance to reevaluate how you can be engaged. Perhaps many of you are already engaged. You're like, hey, I'm already serving in this church. If you are, take a moment to reevaluate. Is that where I continue to serve, or is the Lord calling me in a new area? If you would, take a moment and mark the box. I also want to acknowledge those who say, you know what? I would love to serve in the body of Christ, but I really don't know my gifts. I'm not quite sure where. Then there's a question there. I don't know my spiritual gifts. Just say you don't know them and leave it at that. We'll get in touch with you. But perhaps some of you, and I was like this at one time, have buried your gifts, minimized your gifts, decided that what you have to offer is not really that valuable. And so I would encourage you right now in the power of the Holy Spirit to re-engage the body of Christ. In a moment, we're going to ask for you to turn these in, but while you're thoughtfully and prayerfully completing them, I've asked Rachel to sing a song that will create the essence of what we're called to do in this process. So, Rachel, please come forward and share with us.
Happy Sabbath. Trust him in his presence.
Everything to you, including the talents that you've given us, Lord. Some of us perhaps have not been as engaged as you would like us, Lord. And I pray that you would give peace to those who have said, yes, today is a day. I want to re-engage with your body and share your gifts. Lord, for those who have been faithfully serving, I pray that they would feel affirmed and hear the words, well done, good and faithful servants. And Lord, perhaps there are those that have yet to decide if they even want to follow you. I pray that they would hear your voice say, come to me. I died for you. Lord, thank you so much for this time of worship, of renewal. Bless this body. May we make a difference, Lord, for your kingdom is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.